for the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, starting at the 16th verse. When I get there, do be patient. Thank you. I should get my Bible. It's easier to find it, I do believe. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he or she who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful people lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to others, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions." Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No. You will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those who the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of Christ. Take a seat, everyone. I don't know if you get that, but you're looking at someone else's Bible and you can't quite find what you're looking for. You have to open your own Bible and it's there, and it's exactly there, but it's not there. So it's all very complex. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would come by your Spirit. Lord, inspire our lives by the touch of your fire. For Lord, we do not want to leave this room unchanged. Set our vision and our heart to a higher goal. In Jesus' name, amen. When you are in trouble or you need advice, where do you go? Sarah and I, when we were first married, we lived in a flat. which was lovely. Well, actually, it wasn't a flat. It was a little Muse cottage, which is beautiful. Beautiful little place. But after the birth of our first child, Sam, we thought it probably would be wise if we started to get on the property ladder. And so we did. And as often happens when you are newly married and completely and utterly poor, the property that you buy is not the most desirable. And so you learn the art of DIY. I have now learnt that DIY should mean don't involve yourself. Because there were many things that actually you don't realize what you don't know until you are confronted by the things that you don't know. And actually, the older I become, the more I know that I don't know. But we had to renovate this house, and my goodness me, it did take some while. But the person that I would always phone, there were two people that I would phone, but the first person that I would phone was my father-in-law, Sarah's dad. He was a lovely man, but he had built his own house. He was a great man of work with his hands. So I would talk to him. I would go to him for advice because I knew that if I crossed the red wire and the black wire and put them in the wrong place, I probably would be in trouble. Or if I didn't put the right things in the right place at the right time, I would be in trouble. You see, it's important to know where to go when you don't know what to do. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. It's one of the most comforting calls in the whole of the Gospels. Come, I recognize your burden. Come to me, and I will give you rest. But the question remains, if that is true, by the way, it is, but if that is true, why then do we so often make Jesus our last port of call and not our first port of call? If we're really honest with ourselves, Jesus is our sort of parachute should the plane be plummeting to the floor. After we've tried everything that we can, we then call on the name of the Lord. I remember when I first arrived in the UK, I was miles away from the Lord Jesus. I was. But I'd hired a car, and we were driving back from a venue, and the fuel tank gauge was going more and more down. And we got to empty, and then we got through the red, and that was the point I prayed. Lord, if you can get us through this, I'll follow you forever. Well, the car ran out of petrol. And then the man from the AA came along with a tank of fuel for us. I didn't have any money to pay him. He says, you can pay us later, and filled it up. I didn't recognize that was the work of the Lord. And I didn't follow the Lord for another couple of years. But it goes to show our human nature, isn't it? When things are really tough, we cry out to him. But when there's smooth sailing, hey, I've got it all under control. I think the thing that we need to perhaps grasp is what is going on in the smooth water. Because we know Jesus saves. We know he longs to take our burdens. And yet so often we withhold placing those burdens upon him. Well, first of all, I think we need to understand that there is a battle for our allegiance. Who are we following? In Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are a new creation. We've been bought at a price. We are no longer our own. Say to me, I am no longer my own. I am Christ's. I am no longer my own, I am Christ's. I am no longer my own, I am Christ's. Now for some of that, even saying that sticks. Oh, but it's spiritually true. But we heard this wonderful reading from Sheila, that the do's and the don't do's and the woe is me. And it's a little bit confusing. I would encourage you to go home and give yourself 30 minutes with no distractions and read the book of Romans from the beginning to the end. It's a tremendous book. We're right in the middle of Paul talking about this spiritual battle, this battle for allegiance that is going on in the very core of our being. He's saying, I know what I ought to do, but I find myself doing the very thing that I know I shouldn't. But I know that I shouldn't. Now, knowing that I shouldn't means actually that my spiritual self has a sense of knowing what is right and wrong because Christ lives within me. But my flesh wages war. It is the weaker part of me. And as you know, he goes on to say, but praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, because now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because we can stop there and go, oh, I'm going to whip myself. I'm a terrible, terrible man or woman, as the case may be. But actually, when we realize that we run into the shadow of Christ, that we need not to beat ourselves up, but to surrender to him. I do not understand what I do, for I do what I do not want to do, and I hate it. What a wretched person we are. And the fact of the matter is, we are wretched without Christ. But he has not left us alone. There is a battle waged in our hearts and our minds to believe that the gospel is truly this simple. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is that simple. Oh, it can't possibly be that simple. It is that simple. You see, what happens is, even as I speak this, your minds are rehearsing your life and your experience in God. And you're saying, but it's not that simple. It is that simple. Because my second point is this, not only do you understand that there is a battle for our allegiance in our minds and our hearts, but also hooking in slightly to the sermon series that has just finished on worship, we misunderstand the concept of surrender. You see, we're called to surrender to Christ. When we think of surrendering, we think about a war where one side is overpowered by the opponent who is more powerful. And then we give in to the terms of the victor. However, the terms of our surrender are completely to our benefit. Because Christ knows what is best for us. Jesus asks us to surrender all to him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Surrender. That internal battle that you feel within your being, surrender it to Christ. Your disappointments, surrender them to Christ. Your mourning and broken heart, surrender it to Christ. Your concern for your children or your grandchildren, surrender it to Christ. Your worrying about your future, surrender it to Christ. It is that simple. Because as we give him a burden, he gives us his peace. Present your prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. Actually, I'm going to read it out to you. It's Philippians 4. Do you remember it? I'm sure that you do. You're far better at this than I am. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about most things. There are some things that you're allowed to be anxious about. No, it doesn't say that, does it? But in everything by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard what? Will guard your hearts and minds. Do you see this battle for our allegiance in our mind? In prayer and in surrender, our hearts and minds are guarded by the peace of God, like a fortress. Make Jesus your first port of call, not your last. He's not the airbag as you come crashing into the back of somebody else, even though he does do that for us. Surrender. We need to understand that surrendering is a positive thing in the kingdom. And finally, friends, following Jesus requires active participation. We think surrendering is a passive action. I'm going to stop fighting. But actually, surrendering is removing our burden and taking on his burden. What are Jesus' burdens? For the poor, for the oppressed, for the downtrodden, for the sick, for the weary, for the broken, for the unlovely. Really? Yes. It requires a learning. Come and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart. Our teacher is gentle and humble. I didn't meet many gentle and humble teachers in my time when I was at school. But there were one or two that actually commanded my respect, because they weren't trying to exercise their power. If we learn from the master who is gentle and humble, we too will become gentle and humble. We don't have to be humiliated in order to be humble. It's counterintuitive to be restricted by somebody. But Jesus says, come and take my yoke upon you. Now, you've heard this sermon, these sorts of talks before, and you know what a yoke is about. It's about a better trained animal with another animal, or a particularly bolshy animal who won't do as they're told, pulling either a cart or a plow or anything like that. And to be honest, we are the uncooperative bolshy animals. But as we're yoked to Christ, we're walking beside him with his whisper in our ear. It is not a burdensome yoke. Take my burden upon you, because your burdens are far too burdensome. And we find that rest and peace will come. In the book of Zechariah, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. What a wonderful thing to be a prisoner to. The hope that there is in Christ Jesus. How hopeful are you? What do you hope for? Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. R.C. Sproul, a great biblical scholar, said, hope is called the anchor of the soul because it gives stability to the Christian life. But hope is simply not a wish. I wish that this sort of thing would take place. Rather, It is that which latches on to a certainty of the promises of the future that God has made for us. That is the true hope that we have. Friends, freedom only comes through Christ. It only comes through us surrendering everything to Him, to be willing to take a surrendering position to Him, and to be yoked to Christ. Accept His burdens. Learn new ways. Make Him your first port of call and not your last. And you will find rest for your souls. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Shall we pray? Jesus, You are in all and through all. Lord, we surrender our sinful nature to You, which rails and battles against You. And we pray, O God, forgive us for our stubborn hearts. Yoke us to You, we pray. Teach us the joy of glorious surrender. And we give You permission to take our burdens and give us Your burden, which is light and easy. In Jesus' name, Amen.